You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hey, what's going on? This is episode 248 of the IT and the D Show. It is the Monday after Motor City Comic Con, and we are absolutely...
Boy, our voice is raspy.
And we are exhausted, but we are living to pod another day. It should be a very, very fun episode. We're going to recap Motor City Comic Con and what we did all weekend. Also, we have two great
in-studio
guests. We have Andrew Spies is in the house. He's from Teals, which is from Microsoft Philanthropies. He's going to be talking about engaging the high school community into becoming the next IT geek.
How does he reach these keys?
Exactly. Pakimo. And then we have all the way back from episode two and a few in between, we have rock stars Elise Turner, Erica Langerand from Detroit Labs talking about the new apprenticeship program. Woo! And we are looking forward to hearing from them. But hey, this show is brought to you by our friends at Udemy, the largest marketplace for online learning. Whether you're looking to learn something new or just sharpen your skills, Udemy has over 65,000 courses starting at just $11.99.
That's a lot.
It's 12 bucks, kids.
Yeah.
Students around the world choose Udemy to discover new passions, expand their skills, and even change careers. Do us a favor. Visit ude.my/ITinTheD or download the Udemy app to learn anytime, anywhere.
Do that.
Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt. That's Gary. You're Bob and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the beak off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT in the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Stein, a big Pump and Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the Nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
Hey everybody, this is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girl, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead. A lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the McGumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Hi, this is David Kay, the voice of Megatron from Beast Wars. Excellent. Yes.
And, of course, Clank from Ratchet & Clank.
And Grandpa Max from the new Ben 10.
Yes, Professor Xavier from X-Men Evolution. Storm. Logan, where is Storm? Storm, come here, Storm. Sit on my lap, Storm. Yes.
You're listening to IT and the D.
Don't go away.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Oh!
Hi, this is Bruce Prichard. You're listening to, what the hell, the IT and the D Show? What kind of name is that? But just in case you were wondering, I do love you.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do. The question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this. Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome back. Thanks for listening. You are listening to the one and only IT in the D Show, broadcasting live.
I think the Imperial March is the only part that still exists from like episode one.
I take it back.
Episode two, because episode one was just Killing Joke. The '80s is the intro.
I think one was just yeah.
Erica actually still exists from episode two.
Well, we are hanging out here in Studio
but
One.
She's not here every week.
We're hanging out here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy. Across from me is Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house. Randy, I do the Twitters. Walker is doing the Twitters. Find us online at itinthed.com. And do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Find podcasts are sold.
Support for today's show comes from Microsoft Teams. Microsoft Teams is your hub for teamwork and Office 365. With so much to look after, wouldn't it be great if there was just one place to look? Teams is that single workspace where you can work, share, and connect with the people in your work life. Teams brings together your chats, meetings, files, and apps all in one place. Take teamwork where you work with apps for mobile and desktop. So whether you're sprinting toward a deadline or sharing your next big idea, Teams can help you and your team achieve more. You know, I like to think about teamwork with us in the show. If we couldn't collaborate before the show, this thing would probably
suck. We'd be screwed.
We'd be absolutely screwed. We share things all week, every day. We're sharing across articles, funny stuff we see in the media. Like, teamwork is an integral part to us.
Absolutely.
And any
it
other
saves
team.
having meetings beforehand, right, when you collaborate all week.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't need to have a meeting about the meeting that we're going to have.
Exactly.
Yeah. Microsoft Teams and Office 365. Visit office.com/teams to learn more.
Whee!
And thanks for your support.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Elise, he's a professional voice actor.
I know.
I saw you guys doing things.
Yeah,
over
as
there,
they're, as they're sitting over there trying to make you crack.
No. He was doing Love You, Nuri.
Oh, good. Thanks. Love you, too.
So in the dance world, those are called, this is going to be a drop now, but those are called facials.
Yeah. You just made the intro.
We isolate
you
guys, that.
It's like they
long.
Know they make the, they know what to do to make the intro.
9:13 p.m.
Yeah,
right. 9:13 p.m.
Yeah, so hey, Bell,
we just got back from not sleeping for about four straight days from Motor City Comic Con.
Mother of God!
And boy, are our arms tired. if you don't,
your arms are tired.
We basically we had a booth the entire weekend. We were podcasting. We were interviewing. We were talking to people. We were drinking until 3 a.m. We pretty much embodied Comic-Con, and we live to tell the tale.
It is always, always an amazing time. That is exhausting. But and honestly, I mean, it wasn't even as like – we've had some seriously ludicrous times in past years. And like it wasn't that over-the-top insane this year, but it was just awesome. Like we had a great time sitting around yakking with everybody, just having great conversations, drinking our asses off, you know, watching Matt Thompson human pigeon into a window.
Did he leave a print of his face on the glass?
He absolutely left a print of his face on the glass.
He's immortalized.
It was, oh, yeah. And oh, no, and I took pictures and memed him, and it was amazing.
Do furries but the, go to these cons?
The whole thing is,
we saw them Sunday.
Who, the furries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm taking note of that.
Like, suddenly there was a large contingent of them. And by large, I mean like there were a
Would
dozen
you call
them,
them a pack or maybe like
a
fur
flock,
pile?
A flock of furries.
A flock.
We just don't want to.
It's
we
a
all,
mob.
We all
furries.
Joked that we didn't want to lift up the tail knowing what's underneath there.
Oh,
right.
No.
Or, yeah. whatever, or what it's attached
or what
to.
Is it? Yeah, exactly.
They're anatomically correct?
No, right. There's like a flat butt flap like in the red underpants.
And,
from
and,
like,
and that's where the tail comes out?
That's
yeah.
better than a stitched anus.
A stitched starfish?
Oh, gross, Randy. Highlights of the weekend. I mean, by far, on Friday, we got to meet Ogre and Betty from Revenge of the Nerds.
Dude, and Ogre was such a funny guy. That was amazing.
Elaborate on Ogre.
Ogre's
Revenge of the Nerds.
No, elaborate on how he was.
He just a great sense of humor, and like when we told it, like we're like, dude, you're already in the drop. You're already in our intro. You might as well be in our intro for real, because he was the nerds. And so we got a great. And I did not have time to get it put in, but it'll be there next week.
But the best is when he signed. One of my favorite parts of his appearance is during the belching contest, where he's like, Ogre, or no, it's Stanley
Palowatsky.
Palowatsky's like. Ogre, you asshole. So the guy goes, Ogre, you asshole. Then he hits him again. He goes, Ogre. So I got him to write Ogre, you asshole.
So he wrote, hey, IT and the D show. You guys are great. Yeah. Bob's like, no. You got to write. And he's like, so now he also wrote Ogre, you asshole.
Which means, and then Betty's next door, who's, if you watch the movie, it's really rapey, but I don't know how the 80s got away with it for some reason. We're like,
well, the 80s got away with the whole.
No, so we talk, you don't notice it when it's on, but then you think about it. Okay, so she goes into the bounce house. And nerd number one walks in wearing the costume the boyfriend was wearing, so she thinks it's him and proceeds to have sex with her. And then when she takes the mask off, does not freak out that it's not her boyfriend that she thought it was. Kind of creepy in hindsight.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, you're that nerd. You were wonderful. And
yeah.
So we didn't make any mention, but she, the nerds won in the pie eating the raising
fundraiser,
money.
Yeah.
The revenue got more revenue because they were serving topless pictures of her because they put illegal cameras in the sorority house and took topless pictures of her and put her in the bottom of the pie tin. She actually had pie tins that she was selling and autographing.
It was amazing.
She's a woman of business.
Oh, she owned it. Yeah, she made money off us. Not one of the nicest people ever. She always say hi to us if she sees us walking around.
Oh yeah, she saw us in the restaurant, saw us wandering around. She was always stopping us and saying hey again and just yeah.
My highlight was by far, Rob Paulson, who could not have been a nicer human being. As soon as I told him that we interviewed him a couple weeks back in our show, that was the most listens we ever got at any show downloads. And he was floored. He goes, you made my weekend. I said, don't bullshit me. And he goes, no. That's one of the coolest things that, I'm floored. Like, I'm so honestly, generally, you make my weekend.
That was probably the one thing I missed the most about that. Like, I was really, really excited about meeting him. And then I had plans in Denver. And I'm like, damn it. But I hear there's a really good piece of audio he left us.
Yes, he did.
Three.
Yeah.
He gave us three intro drops, one in his regular voice and two in character voice.
Well, in his regular voice, it is Yakko, basically, right?
Sort of.
It's real close.
Yeah, but he went full Yak. He went, but like that guy spent time with everyone. He wasn't doing the William Shatner head down signing and moving.
You said he was spending like 20 minutes with everybody as they were moving through,
I'm exaggerating,
right?
20.
Well, in some cases, yeah.
Five. Like, he was hugging everyone. Like, people were like,
what an awesome guy.
Floored. How, like, some of those times people get either annoyed or it's a long weekend and they don't want to do it. Like, Val Kilmer hid himself in a cave. I'm like, I don't even want to give the guy money.
And not the bad cave.
No, he just, he wasn't out in the public. And, like, and what's his, Wallace?
Wallace Shawn?
Yeah, he wouldn't say, you could not say inconceivable to him, which is the whole point of him being there.
There was a post-it.
Say the line.
A post-it.
Say the line. Do the trick.
Exactly, yeah. Dance, monkey boy. That's why you're here.
Nobody cares.
It's the John Schneider moment. Dude, nobody cares about the new stuff. Just play the hits.
Our biggest mistake, our biggest flub, our biggest flop, Billy Zabka was there from Karate Kid, the new Cobra Kai series. And we
didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And because there was always a lot of people, and we were trying to not be obnoxious and annoying. And I saw him walking around with his handler at one point, and I was going to stop, and I'm like, nah, he's just trying to chill, whatever.
And then we thought we were going to see him at the bar like we did the last year.
He was never at the bar. So I'm walking around Sunday, like as the con's getting ready to close, and I run into him in the hallway, and he stops me, and he was like, "Dude, where the hell were you guys?" I'm like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I didn't see you guys all weekend. Like, I even went walking around trying to find you guys, and you weren't where you were last year." And no. I'm like, "Oh man, like we moved." And then I'm like, "And I saw you walking around with your handler, but I didn't want to be a jerk and like be that guy and interrupt you." He's like, "Oh no, we were looking for you at the bar." He's like, "Man," he's like, "I didn't think there was anybody here I wanted to hang out with." So, man,
drop that ball.
Yeah, we suck.
Yeah, exactly.
We suck again.
I know you asked him to call in, but that's probably not happening.
Yeah, who knows.
Right.
He's probably still recovering like us.
Seriously. I don't know how they do it. We ate pretty much – there's nothing to eat there.
No.
It's a horrible con for food. You get like cotton candy, ice
pretzels.
Cream, soft pretzels. And
that are not that soft after 4 seconds.
No, they're awful. And like where's water and pop. There's nothing, unless you go to the hotel restaurant.
Right. Which has great food, but then closes at 3 p.m. on Sunday because that's logical.
Yeah, exactly.
Genius. And then the other thing we had our event at Embrew right before that on Thursday night. Went phenomenally. Had a really, really good crowd of people that came out.
Late crowd because I got yelled at by a couple of people going, hey, nobody's showing up. I'm like, give it time.
Give it time. And like, then, at like 6:30, everybody showed up, which is insane.
Embrew is an amazing venue, too, for just any night of the week, in my opinion.
Oh, dude, it was like,
It's perfect for what we do.
Yeah, totally.
Because you got the big open space. You got pinball machines if you get tired of talking to people.
Yeah.
You know, and shuffleboard. And
I did that once or twice.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't handle people. I'm going to go play Star Wars pinball. I'll be back.
You're
that's what she said.
And speaking of events, we have a couple coming up in about 2 weeks. We've got our casual networking for Ann Arbor professionals. That's Tuesday, June 5th, 5 p.m. We'll be at the basement of the Pretzel Bell in Ann Arbor. And then free podcast day here at Podcast Detroit.
Oh, yeah, on the 2nd.
That is June 2nd. Make sure you sign up in advance, though, so we can reserve you studio space.
So don't just show up and expect a podcast?
Yeah, no, because we tell you no. Well, and that's actually one of the things we were talking about with the con, that I think we're going to tweak things a little bit and start trying to modify what we do there at the booths and kind of run like a free podcast day-ish thing there, which should be interesting. So we'll see how that goes.
Absolutely. So one of the dumbest things that happened last week, and I hate when this stuff happens on the internet, were you Yanni or Laurel?
I have not listened to
it. I am Team Laurel.
I refuse.
See, I was both. Well, I heard both.
I don't care, but I heard Laurel.
The New York Times put out a tool where if you slow it down, there's a slider. You can go between Yanni and Laurel.
I never heard Yanni ever.
If I slid it all the way to the left, I heard Yanni and couldn't hear Laurel again until I got it back past the middle.
But I didn't hear. Weird. I heard Yammy. I didn't hear Yanni. So I was like, until they told me it was Yanni.
Is it like a grandmother pie that's just a little too yammy or marshmallows on top?
No.
You leave my grandmother's pie out of this.
Yeah. Gross. But it's one of those things, like, people are arguing, and I'm like, there's nothing to argue about. And so, like, we put the meme up.
Nobody cares if what color the dress is.
Yeah.
Nobody
like, cares. Laurel. No, but the funny thing is someone made a meme of Laurel with Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
And then Yanni, the
master of the
jazz.
Flute. Yeah.
I loved Yanni growing up. I did.
So on weird. The blue and the gold dresses or whatever the hell they were called. I was always, which one do you see?
So that was the stupidest thing you thought all week?
Yeah, that was. That
what
was
got
dumb.
Me was the freaking royal wedding quiz.
Don't even.
No, I watched so many of my friends, especially from
number one, we fought a war almost 300 years ago now so that I don't have to give a shit about the goddamn royal wedding.
God save the queen.
Let's be clear.
We just married right back into it.
Kiss my ass.
And number two?
And then number two, I give no shits. And then number three.
Profit?
Step three, profit. But number three, dude, people. Dumbasses, how many times do you have to hear that these stupid effing Facebook quizzes are nothing more than mining the shit out of your data before it sinks the...
But Dave, I need to know what kind of garlic bread I am.
You're soup salad and breadsticks. That's what you
are.
But
I'm Lord Johnson of Snowflake Vineland or something.
What was the quiz? Because I didn't see
it.
It was
so bad. So I had all my friends from back when I grew up in high school in a small town in rural America were doing this. And it basically says you have a lord or lady. Your first name is your grandparents' last name, i.e. mother's maiden name. Your surname is the name of your first pet, and then of
your typical security question
of the name of the street you grew up on.
Yeah,
which basically I can get into any of your accounts with those three questions.
If you get to like
Princey Gainsborough Angle, because it's asking what's your mother's maiden name and what street did you grow up on.
Can we slow down?
Thanks for putting that on the air, Bob.
Basically, the plot of the movie Now You See Me.
Like they might as well be like your reign is as long as the last four of your social.
I want to try that. I seriously want to try that.
So if you had as much money as the digits in your social security number, how much money would you have?
So people, seriously, when you see these, this is just a really good attempt to steal your shit.
Just
it may be funny.
Stop.
Think about it. You know, it may be funny to chuckle about. Don't share it. Don't
but I like knowing what pro wrestler name I am.
You are Gaseous Clay.
Damn it. So weird. So here's the thing. Like Facebook, again, went through the Tylenol syndrome where you think after this whole Cambridge Analytica
target
thing.
Got breached. Target shares up.
Sales go up. Facebook,
Tylenol kills people. Tylenol sales off.
Yeah. After this Cambridge Analytica crap goes on, now Facebook shares are at an all-time high, and usage actually went up.
Well, you have to have somewhere to share your outrage, right?
I'm sharing my outrage about Facebook on Facebook.
Yes, of course.
It's kind of like, what was it, Ashley Madison, like usage went up with women. It's like, well, they were checking up on their men.
Of course, looking to find their husbands. Yeah, right. It's exactly
I mean, there was so much noise. People were like, hashtag delete Facebook, blah, blah, blah.
Everybody was talking about they were deleting their account.
Well, and nobody did.
And then not only that, when they did the re-release or they did the update on Android for their app.
Dude. This is squirrely as shit.
It asked for super user privilege, which if you don't know what that is, that means it's admin rights.
It's like
to your
root
phone.
On your phone.
Yes,
like full unfettered
everything.
Admin access.
Wait, not just phone, not just context. Wait,
did you download that update?
The last update from Facebook asks for super user access on your
which
phone.
Which means they can go through anything on your phone you
yep.
want. However, they said in an update that it was an accident and it was because of their anti-fraud systems and a number of people got permission
bullshit.
Management. Blah, blah, blah. We apologize for any confusion.
I'm declaring
but
shenanigans.
Here's the thing, though. We all get mad. We're fake outraged at Facebook. We're mad.
Full rage.
But then, like, here you have all major cell phone carriers, which know where you are at every minute of every second of every day, sells that info to third parties.
So here's the funny thing. I knew this back in 99, 2000. This has been going on since then.
Did we have Google Maps on our phone?
No. So back then, we did a little pilot when I was at Great Lakes Technologies Group with getting cell tower data from Verizon because we were trying to build our own little traffic app.
Yeah, dude, but didn't that triangulate though? And it was like within a 10 meter. But I guess 10 meter is close enough.
Well, so with the data from 3 cell phone towers, you could get traffic information pretty easily because you're getting like how fast people are moving, what streets are nearby, and all that kind of stuff. You can get it down to about 3 meters,
which is inside your house, basically.
Wow. Yeah.
So they sell it to a company called Location Smart.
Yep.
And apparently, all the carriers do this.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah, and it's your real-time location and information. And what was it? It was a former deputy sheriff that used it to track the location of a judge and his security detail for like 8 weeks.
Do they have an API that I can like test this with?
Wait, free demo. Sweet.
Free demo. Yay. Yes. Yeah, pump in your phone number and then just freak out.
Well, the problem with their free demo was the security check didn't work. So if you knew what you were doing, you could write a simple script, put in anybody's phone number.
Are you serious?
And track anybody.
Yeah. Beauty.
Don't you dare take away my maps on my phone.
Right.
So
say good news, though. So EFF has finally squashed the ever-living shit out of Personal Audio.
Oh, my God.
If you're not familiar with them, Personal Audio are the goddamn trolls that tried to go after Adam Carolla.
Who are now suing us.
They can suck my balls. If you're listening, Personal Audio, 4Q. That's what I'm going to say. Just 4Q.
Better than 3Q.
It's better than 3Q, less than 5Q. But no, so they went after Adam Carolla. They were basically claiming to own podcasting because the Patent and Trademark Office are idiots and gave them a patent on podcasting long after the podcast.
The quote was a system for disseminating media content.
Could that be anything? Like that could be Pandora. That could be iTunes. That could be.
And that was going to be their next step. You know it was. Flashback, you know, speaking of back in the day, there was a guy who tried to sue a rather large automotive company that I was with at the time because he claimed he owned Method Equal Post. Now, if you're not familiar with what Method Equal Post is, that's what happens when you click the submit button on any form, anywhere, ever, at all, for any reason.
What was his rationale?
Because he claimed that he owned a patent that controlled, and he did not. But it was like if you were drunk as shit and loosely interpreted his patent, maybe you could see it. But anything that was submitting information over the internet via a form, that was his claim.
No.
Yeah. No. So that went away. Yeah, that was amazing. So, but you know, like a week of my life was with the attorneys and general counsel coming up with prior art and prior use and yada. That was such a good use of my time.
There was when I went through back in the early 2000s where a guy sued our company saying that IVR systems, when you call in and push buttons, he claimed to have a patent that allowed, was it providing data over DTMF for telephone lines or something like that?
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love people.
So,
really, I do.
Speaking of electric lines, electric lines. We love Bitcoin. Apparently, at the end of 2018, Bitcoin will consume 0.5% of the world's electricity.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Any percentage at all that you can measure with a number is a lot.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think it'd
when
be
you
like
consider the global usage of electricity. Holy shit.
0.5, like a half percent. Like that is, you'd think there's 7 billion people in the world. We got, everyone's got the lights on. And you think about the data centers consuming all the electricity.
Yeah.
You know, think of all the people building that are mining.
Yeah, think of you know, poor Motor City Comic Con that lost power,
the power
this weekend.
Oh my
dude,
god!
So there's your moment for Motor City Comic Con when they had a blackout that lasted a good 10-15 seconds.
Did people scream and start stealing shit?
Oh, the first thing I hear is Bob going, "Whoa, shit!"
Because then I looked, then I'm looking around, seeing like who's
what can people steal? What can people steal?
Who's
what
stealing
steal?
Microphones? Yeah, exactly. They're attached to cords; you can't steal them.
Yeah.
But my favorite scam that I think I've ever read.
Oh, dude, hats off to this guy in Atlanta. I love this man.
Would have thought
he's a genius.
That changing your home address to a company.
He submitted a change of address form via the U.S. Postal Service.
Not even the same state.
For the UPS home office.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
And he lived
to his home address.
In Chicago.
Nobody apparently thought to double check that.
So did all the mail just go to Chicago?
All of UPS's packages
corporate
and everything.
Mail.
Corporate
How many
mail.
Days? What?
How many days?
Oh, for months.
No.
They said he got, what was it, $80,000 in checks?
2 or 3 months. Corporate Amex is coming out of the
Amex
butthole.
Corporate Amex cards, wow. All the, everything. And like no, and apparently like nobody noticed it for months. And then when they, and I guess he used to work at one of their like routing facilities. And got fired and thought this would be an amazing idea.
There was more checks. He just deposited 10.
Yeah.
So he was trying to play cool. Like, I'm just going to put 10 in.
Right.
You know. But in the meantime, there was payroll checks. There was stuff
oh, they said
coming.
Literally tons of packages and mail were coming to this guy. Like,
where did he
like,
put it all?
No. So the Postal Service had to install a mail bin, like one of those big giant ass mail bins outside of his house.
Get this. The form he filled out, he initialed it. With his initials, crossed that out and wrote UPS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was smart, wow. But not so smart.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. USPS deals with 37 million address changes a year.
Yeah. What was it? They said they got 177,000 complaints last year about fraudulent address changes,
yeah.
If I recall correctly.
So how did he endorse those checks? It's like my first name is Udalia. My last name is
So he honestly,
it's like IRS from wrestling, Irwin R. Scheister.
Yeah, you know, dude, he probably didn't endorse them at all. I mean, dude, what have you like? If you deposit a check through an ATM, you don't have to sign it.
Yeah.
You just put it in and you use, and it goes to your account through your ATM card.
See, now here's the thing: like my neighborhood, it's got to be one of the dumbest builders in the history of humanity. The townhouse has the same first four numbers as my house. That's directly horizontal. They just build houses behind me, single ranch family homes. Same first four numbers. So now we're on
Why?
A first name. That's what I said. So like this, our stuff gets interchanged. And here's the worst part. I get that Essentia, those liter and a half bottles of water,
right.
The pH water sent to my house. And like it was to the wrong house. So the woman's like, I'm not picking up this damn box that weighs 3,000 pounds. You come get it. So now we're on like first name texting calling basis.
Hi, I got your shit again.
I guess it's a good way to meet the neighbors.
Right.
I got your shit this week.
They're just trying to improve neighborhood relations, Bob. That's all it is.
Exactly. My ass.
So I did love the Osic X story, basically the 3D headphones that were supposed to like revolutionize audio that has announced that they've gone bankrupt effective immediately. Everybody is shit out of luck. And keep in mind, they went bankrupt after getting $2.7 million off of Kickstarter when their goal was only $100,000.
And I think they got $3 million from someone else,
$3.2 million off of Indiegogo.
So they had $6 million
plus $6 million.
Another $6 million in venture capital
yep.
funds. So $12 million, and they produced how many of them?
They say they produced 250 units, but they don't have the money to ship them out to people.
Jesus.
Wow. Is that what their quote was? Because I was trying to look for their quote.
Yes. Yeah, they say they produced 250, but they don't even have the money to mail them out.
This is not the first one of the Kickstarters or Indiegogos that have turned toes up and then everyone lost their money, right?
Oh,
no,
God, no.
No, it happens all the time. It's one of the risks involved with Kickstarter.
Well, that's why everybody was so mad about the RoboCop statue. I mean, we're what, 4 or 5 years out now?
We're
Dude,
getting
from
it.
That.
More than
we're
that.
Getting it.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But and people like – because they went dark like after they got funded
sorry.
And people tweaked out. Yeah.
We're sorry.
We're sorry. Welcome to BP.
So speaking of RoboCop, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Andrew Spies from Teals, part of Microsoft Philanthropy. Should be a great conversation. This is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment two, episode 248 of the IT in the D show, broadcasting live here, Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek.
Wee.
Mary the F&G is in town, thank God. Mm-hmm. And Randy, I do the Tutors Walkers, is in the house. Find us online, itinthed.com, because we are IT in the D.
you're still not.
Wait till you see what we got in store for you.
We's about to get loud.
Can
I just ask, why is Nuri still the F&G? It's been like 2 years.
Because there hasn't been another new guy.
I need a new term.
He's the new guy until he's not the new guy anymore.
Yeah, I'm newer.
Are you?
Randy's newer.
But Randy does the Twitters.
But I still think we should, we'll talk about this.
All right.
Maybe we should have a competition for the listeners to name
the Nuri.
No. Do you remember when my cousin's kid was like, he just got his the UAD, he's like 24, and he was like, at the Christmas party, he's like, oh my God, is that Nuri the FNG? And he was like starstruck because he like religiously listened to the pod. I know, I'm like, you can't change it now.
Ever happened to me in my entire life.
But it happened to me and Dave at PangoCon, which is still weird. Like, you must be smoking. That means you're Dave. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
No, you're in a Pabst jacket. You must be Bob. No, it's crazy. Yes,
that's a thing.
I need a new jacket or something. By the way, I'm like, it's
you're too identifiable now.
Yeah.
Oh no.
No, because I have a costume.
Dude, all Motor City Comic Con, they were like, "Oh, Pabst jacket, Bob."
Yeah, I have the
Michael Jackson mask.
No, I'm not cosplaying. I'm not wearing masks. I sweat just standing, let alone if I had a mask on.
How about a fursuit? Would you want to wear a fursuit?
No, God, no. The guy
people
in the
already think he's a bear.
No, the guy in the Chewbacca thing, like, so?
I think I see more as a leather daddy myself, but that's just
at least someone's attracted to me.
So I just take the compliment, move on.
Right, exactly. Oh, wow. But hey, we are joined by, speaking of bears, no, I didn't want to do that.
Oh, nice.
Wait,
we are joined, we met him at one of our meetups. Andrew Spies is in the house. He's from Teals. It's a Microsoft a philanthropies program getting the youth engaged in IT. What's going on?
Not much, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about what we're doing for Teals.
No, absolutely. We met you at Falling Down at one of the meetups, and we sat and talked for about 10 minutes, and I'm like, God, we got to have you on the show.
Yeah.
Because you have our favorite job title in the history of job titles, which is Microsoft Evangelist, which means I'll take it. Which means, like, I sing the praises of
Does he talk like this?
Right.
I can.
Can you shout it from the mountain?
Stay away from Linux and Apple. They are the devil.
Do you feel the power of Azure?
Don't say the S word.
Can I get an amen? Can I get a C sharp?
Ding.
This is the nerdiest conversation I've ever had.
So, I guess walk me through a day in the life of.
Hey, you know why Java developers wear glasses?
Huh?
Because they can't.
Because they don't see sharp.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life.
Don't make me go there.
That's a reluctant thing.
I was a high school teacher for 13
pun
years.
Pun dog, yeah.
So day in the life, I mean, I guess walk me through what it is that, I don't want to rhyme, so what is that
what
you
is
do?
It that you say that you do here?
Yeah, right.
Good question. So basically, I work with schools. I work with volunteers. I basically try to engage companies to work with us to help us build these computer science programs in high schools. So I wake up in the morning. If I have to go to a school for an observation to meet with the volunteers or teachers, I go do that. If not, I'm sitting in a restaurant wherever I'm at that day for meetings, working. I'm kind of a road warrior.
So as I say, a lot of travel?
Yeah. A lot of driving.
Indoctrination of the kids. Like, No, no, no. Ubuntu's bad. No, no, no. Google Mail. No.
You know what? I will take that over what was done to us as kids, because I mean, I'm still angry at Apple. I'm still, to this day, I am still angry at Apple for their Apples for the Kids program that put Apple IIe's in every school
so
that we all grew
Oregon
up with.
Trail and
right. And then as soon as you're out of school, every business was like, what's an Apple?
We didn't have Commodore VIC-20s in business either, so I mean, we'd be mad at Commodore too.
They didn't put those in schools, Bob.
Yeah, it was in mine.
Oh, man, we had Apple IIe's.
This is a really good question, Andrew. Like, what's the current state of computer science education in schools? I mean, you're obviously out trying to work to improve it, but before Teals gets there, what do you guys?
Well, let me add to that, Nuri, because I just looked at my kid's curriculum for high school. She's going to be a freshman next year. They have like hacking courses at high school now, which is. To me, I didn't expect it, right? I thought it was going to be just like basics.
So is that the average or is that a hyperbole?
So let me give you a number.
All right.
So there's 1,368 public high schools in Michigan.
Okay.
2016, 2017, there were 98 schools that offered AP Computer Science.
What?
That's 7%.
That's eight.
True. No. You know what? That makes sense because I wouldn't think because it's always AP English, AP Math. Maybe physics, science, somewhere in that realm, but that makes sense. I wouldn't think
so. Rigorous computer science isn't being taught wide range in schools. You know, you think the first thing you think, oh, they ought to be teaching it there, right? My kid, they can sign up for that class. No,
why not?
So the biggest issue is teachers. Let's be real. If you're gonna
the kids are gonna know more than the teachers, right?
Well, no. If you get a computer science degree, what are you gonna do?
Not teach.
Make $45,000 a year as a teacher?
No.
Get treated like 45? Shit by all your kids and your administrator?
I took 8 years to get 45.
That's pretty high, Nuri. It really is.
This is my disappointed face.
I know. No, yeah. No, for real.
Like when
I'll give you a real number. I was on my 13th year of teaching and I still hadn't cracked 50.
One of the most important jobs in the country, arguably, and we pay them like shit.
Dude, my niece is a teacher. Just started teaching. She's making 26.
Private school?
Which you could basically make as a barista at Starbucks.
Yeah.
So,
Jesus.
That being said, you know, teachers don't, you know, computer science graduates. I'll give you another number. 2016 graduates in computer science education in Michigan, trained to teach computer science, five. Five teachers.
Wait, what?
Five teachers in 2016 graduated to teach computer science.
So I guess let me ask you a question because there's so much online learning like from Udemy and from our Career Academy. No, but there's like all this online courses. Can't there be just a blank teacher, not a computer science teacher, but that can run through this like kind of generic courseware from Udemy or from anyone for that matter? And
so I can speak to
you know what I mean? Because that always changes. It's always evolving, right?
So I can speak to that a little bit. I'm actually a teacher right now for Michigan Virtual.
Okay.
Which is a school, an online school.
Yep.
And I teach. I went to quit because I got this job. I put in my 2-week notice and they said, no, you can't leave.
Oh.
But I can.
I can. But they're like, literally, we cannot replace you. There will be students without computer science because of you.
Oh, that's a nice knife.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Turn the knife.
It feels like
right?
Catholic guilt is what that feels like.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So I still teach that computer science course online for students. Now, the students that generally sign up for that class are those kids that have exhausted every math class, right?
Right.
The school will put them in there because the kids literally have nothing else.
They don't know what else to do with them. Yeah.
Right. So those are generally the kids. So to be honest with you, they don't need a lot of my help.
Well, you look at the people like Dave and my guys that I grew up with. They're all self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't learn any of this stuff in school. No offense to the school system, but, you know, when I was 15 years old.
I mean, the
way
you became a sysadmin in our high school was you hacked the PDP-11 that was in the back room.
Right. Well, I almost got expelled for finding out everybody's grades. There was a back door. I didn't hack anything. I just knew how to navigate through the software.
My middle pulled out the secretary's little, you know, drawer, and it was pencils.
No, not even that. I didn't need that.
My middle school computer teacher signed my yearbook. I hope to never hear that you've created any viruses. Jim McKinney. God rest his soul. Yep, that's what he signed my yearbook as.
I'll be honest. I was that kid creating bat files in school to get the CD drive to keep opening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was me. Okay. See, teacher hated me.
No, you know what? I learned control run stop on a Commodore at fifth grade. And and they had the cassette tapes, which had Lemonade Stand on it. We turned it into poopy words. The whole, and it was shit that I still do today, right? Go figure. 40 years later. Here we are, like going, mm-hmm. and the school going absolutely berserk, going, who, like, cause the teachers had no comprehension that you could change anything.
And to be honest with you, there was more computer science taught back then than there is today.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. See, I learned basic networking and like Corel and, mm-hmm. MS. Or not even MS. I'm thinking of like Draw or
PaintShop Pro.
It was print. Yeah. Like I learned shit. Like Corp that's Express. Why I did not get a computer degree. I went into business because I was so effing bored.
Yep.
You know, I mean, granted, I graduated high school in 91, so I was really in the infancy of anything. It was pre-internet.
Yeah, because you were bored. Because to be honest with you, administrators and teachers didn't really know what computer science is. Nope. They don't know what it is. They really don't understand what programming is. That's one thing that's great about my job is I get to meet with those principals and get to explain that.
Yeah, so you left despite the guilt. So what did you leave for?
No, I'm still working there. I still teach one section of computer science. Yeah, I literally teach online one section of computer science. I bank a little paycheck once a week. And
are the requirements hard? I mean, I know different types of teachers have different types of certifications. Like if you're going to be a science teacher, you have to have certain thing, history,
etc. So I'll give you a little – so for me, I have a degree in mathematics. I have a minor in computer science. So I took a bunch of web classes in college, right? And I got a computer science minor so I can teach AP computer science. I mean, the highest level computer science I'm going to teach in a high school is the first semester of Java.
My university offers an endorsement. So if you have a degree for secondary education teaching, you can get an endorsement, which is like another 21 credits of course hours.
Not anymore. They've all dropped them.
All of them?
All of them.
Because it's still listed on my university's website.
The state actually dropped the computer science certification because they couldn't get teachers to teach it.
Jesus.
No, they literally – any teacher can teach computer science.
Wow.
Any teacher can.
Any teacher.
Oh, my God.
With mixed results.
Yeah.
So how does Teals change that?
So what we do is we go in and we work with the school. First, we explain to them, right, what computer science is. And we talk to them about how we can use industry professionals to help them teach the class. So there's a couple different ways we do that. So we have an intro to computer science class, and some schools step into this new class we can talk about in a minute. But the intro computer science program, basically what we do is we say, okay, can you offer the class first hour, the very first hour of the day? Programmers don't work before 10 a.m. Am I right?
It's true. No, true. I don't start till 10:30, actually.
Right? So if I can get a programmer to get up early 2 days a week and come in and help me teach for 1 hour, first hour of the day, help teach the class with the teacher till the teacher can teach it on their own.
Wow.
How many days a week?
At least 2 days a week per volunteer.
That's something I want to get involved with. This is incredible.
What kind of teachers do you – like do you select the teachers? Is there like a process?
Yeah. So technically any teacher can do it, but we obviously gear them in a direction, right? Give me a math teacher, an AP math teacher, someone who's taught at the AP level before. We'll talk to them about it. Maybe there's a teacher that has a little bit of computer science, but they haven't done it in 10 years or 15 years. Maybe they have a minor in computer science, but again, they haven't coded in how long. So what – that's one way we do it. And like our intro course, let's say the person's never seen computer science before, we can actually go in and actually have enough volunteers to actually teach the curriculum. So you could actually be a teacher and keep your day job.
It's incredible. And I think probably another one of the problems is probably technology in the schools, right?
No.
The technology is fine?
No. In fact, most schools have the computers that they need.
That's really?
I'll give you an example. We're in 8 Detroit public community schools. Some would say the worst school district in the country. Every single one of our schools is at a lab that they can work in.
Dude, that's incredible.
They have the computers. They just don't have the expertise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was going to say, like, you can't pull people in from Microsoft to do this, but that's what you're doing.
Well, there's only so many of us.
Right.
Right. I mean, yeah, we are one of the biggest companies. Well, we are the biggest tech company in the world, but we still don't have enough. We've got over 400 companies involved. We had 1,100 volunteers last year. We'll probably have over 1,600 this year.
I don't want to say that's sad that that's the state of affairs now in our education system, but it is what it is, right?
Yeah, that's really what it is. And it doesn't look like it's getting better. But we'll see. I am working with the state right now on like statewide – we don't even have statewide computer science standards for the school. So they don't even know what that is.
I mean, can you even – our joke when I worked at HP was just, if you hate your job, just wait 6 months. It'll change.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's the problem is the standard – every time you create a standard,
yep,
3 months later, it's going to be one, you know, 180 or 90-99. You know what I mean?
Yep. So one thing we focus on is computational thinking, right? So it's not so much the actual technology you're learning, but actually that high level, okay, how can I think like a computer? How can I learn how software works so that any software I sit down in front of I can use?
So why don't – so like Dave and I do a – we developed a program getting people their CompTIA basic certification.
That's awesome.
Why doesn't, I guess, the high school system kind of run that as their standards, or whether it be coding? Like you pick a path, yep, whether you want to do coding or you want to learn infrastructure. Now here's your Java – here's your Java.NET. Right? Here's your CompTIA. So when you walk out of high school, you got the A+, Net Plus, Security Plus, or you got the intro to Java, or you got the intro to .NET. At least then it's a skill they can take.
Right. That's so it's relevant.
Right.
So there's two things. There's two, you know, kind of courses.
So they don't have to don't have to redevelop, because CompTIA then is changing the curriculum, changing the, you know.
So one thing I look at it as, what does every single student that goes through high school need to know versus how many students need to learn that to go into that particular field, right? So yeah, if every student got an intro to, you know, computational thinking and learned what computer science was and actually could like learn how to code.
Yeah, basic object-oriented programming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That to us seems like it's more feasible. And to be honest, it'll help with other subjects, right? Like if you can learn how to think computationally, that'll help in math.
Well, yeah. And thinking in object-oriented – yeah, just thinking object-oriented. Absolutely. Yep.
So that's kind of our train of thought on it. There's tons of different ways you can go that. There's a big push for cybersecurity programs. There's a big push for networking programs. Are these electives or are they core subjects? Does everyone need to know how to be a networking engineer?
Well, that's why my kid was picking drama. I'm like, no. You know, I go at least get – because I put them through like the learn.code.org stuff.
Yep.
When, you know, granted, it wasn't hands-on. It was just basic principles. But I'm like, no,
but it's a start.
It's a start, yeah. And I go, this is part of it.
To be honest, when people talk to me about, okay, what should I do on my own, I point to things that they can actually get a cert, right?
Right.
So like anything that can get a cert on, even if it's freecodecamp.com.
Yep.
Right? Like you get a cert out of that. So that's when people talk to me about, I want to do it on my own. Look at Free Code Camp. Look at the Microsoft cert. There's tons of them. You get a cert, you get a job.
So what about volunteers? Like if I want to get involved with this, what do I need from an industry experience perspective to help me be successful?
Basically, can you teach basic coding, right?
Yes.
So do you know variables? Do you know loops? Do you know arrays? Do you know functions? Do you know the highest things we talk about are we touch on polymorphism and –
is that a form of dating recursion, where everyone's kind of weird?
I was like, yeah, Nuri's a big poly guy.
I know. I've always been wanting to be called a polymorph, right? Like,
polymath is a different thing too, right? Which is kind of an amazing thing. But
exactly.
All right. So basic computer programming.
Very
concepts.
Basic. Yep.
And then you're given some lesson plans to work with.
Yep. Or? So we've actually created curriculum, intro to computer science. We have a full year's curriculum. We have a full year of AP Computer Science A curriculum, which is really interesting because when you dig into it, no one's really ever created curriculum for that.
Hmm.
That course is actually like every teacher who's ever taught it just literally pulled it out of a textbook, right? No one's actually ever sat down. So we actually base ours off the University of Washington curriculum, the actual Java course, and we kind of break it down and we give some Pokemon references in there and make it a lot of fun for the kids, right? And then our intro course that we actually get them ready to teach that class, we do like block-based coding to get them started. Because one of our focuses is on equity.
Okay.
Let's get as many kids in there as we can.
Yeah.
Right? Let's just get them a shot at it. And the last thing you want is them to quit over a semicolon.
Right.
Right? Like a misspelled word in a semicolon, the kid quits. Right?
Yep.
Like, so we get them into that, and then we kind of touch on Python to kind of like introduce them in the text-based coding and get them ready for object-oriented.
Cool.
That's a cool program. We also have this like – so this APCSA course, which is that Java course, has been really hard for schools to pull off, right? Not only the teacher or the students be able to take it. So the College Board 2 years ago put out a brand new course called AP Computer Science Principles. There's a whole bunch of curriculum providers like Project Lead the Way, Code.org that are offering training on this program. Code.org actually offers it for free for teachers.
Okay.
And then what we do is we support that training. So a teacher goes out, gets a whole week of training, a whole week to teach computer science. Woo! So then what we do is we put two volunteers in there to help them out for a year or two until they can teach it on their own.
How many teachers eventually figure it out and teach it on their own? Is it most of them or?
Well, yeah, like 90%.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's cool. So let's be real. They really only need to be able to teach that course, right? They don't need to teach a whole computer science degree, right? They need to teach those two intro courses. So we're trying to fill that need that way.
Huh.
Yep.
So how do people get involved?
They sign up on our website, teelsk12.org.
T-E-A-L-S?
Yep. Just like it sounds, teal. Right, teals with
could
an
be
S.
Two E's.
My favorite color.
Oh, of course.
Could be, I think could Dave's be, wearing teal.
Dave's wearing teal, yeah.
Can we be Teal's Team 6?
No.
Do it. Do it. So then you just click on volunteers as an app right
Bad.
There. Yep. And you can email me anytime, and I can walk you through it.
Interesting.
Yep.
I may want to play.
Me too,
what's
actually.
Really cool is I have budgets.
Ooh.
I have budgets for things.
Perk.
Four.
So the volunteers get to do some fun stuff with me. I get to buy them dinner once a month. We get to go out and have drinks and have a good time and talk about what their experiences are. I get to take them to lunch. I got a budget for that. We call it Meals on Teals.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And I also have a budget for events for kids. So, for instance, there was a hackathon over in Novi this Saturday.
Okay.
And I donated a couple Xboxes.
Nice.
All of a sudden, they got 180 kids there.
Right.
Because I want an Xbox. Right. Right. So we're also looking into like CS fairs down the road, like basically a career fair around computer science once we get enough schools to have this really cool event. I can do field trips. Let's say they want to come see the Microsoft office or whatever office, Quicken Loans office.
No, and in the Microsoft office in Detroit is the customer experience center.
So it's cool.
Yeah. I hear it's beautiful, but there are no USB ports anywhere.
Yeah. What's up with that?
That is not true.
They don't want you plugging anything in anywhere for anyone.
Someone said there was no USB ports there, which I thought was really interesting.
The plugs have USB ports.
Huh.
And where I sit anyways. And I don't sit in the employee center. I'm at the drop-in center. So actually the Microsoft office is cool. They've got a really cool MTC. It's called a Microsoft Technology Center, and they like take you through an experience of Microsoft and all the products and how they can all be used together. They're even in the process of putting in a HoloLens lab. That's a little secret.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, who was it we were just talking with at the Merit event, the MMC event?
Oh, there's a Microsoft guy. That guy was from Seattle.
Yeah, he's from Seattle. Yeah, so we may be playing a little bit with Microsoft.
He's on the broadband team.
Yeah. Dude, I got to go out there just last week, and I got to go to their home of the future.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow.
It was cool. Like
tomorrow today.
It's that space where they tell you can't take your phone out.
Oh, shit.
It's one of those places.
It's like the Woody Woodpecker home of tomorrow.
Yeah. You got to check that out. In conference rooms and tree houses.
Okay.
Oh, and you have to go see the original four buildings from Microsoft before they tear them down.
Yeah. No, I've been there. Yeah.
They're going to tear them down, though. So you got to see how big the koi have gotten.
Yeah. Oh, God. I haven't thought about that. That's hilarious.
So, yeah, Andrew, so it's teals.
Teals K-12?
Teals K12.org.
Okay.
And then click on volunteers. You can see everything about it. If you contact through the website, it'll come right to me. And I'd love to talk to anyone interested in doing that or anyone that could just help me out, teach these kids. You know, to be honest with you, Detroit, we're in 8 Detroit public community schools next year. And that's where I need the most help.
Sure.
That's going to be the hardest pull for volunteers, and I'd love to get some people.
Our friend at Daily Detroit can put a word out too, because it's getting broadband and getting education out is near and dear to our hearts too. So
you got
to
dig into what we're doing in Airband, by the way.
Okay. We'll talk offline.
Yeah.
But hey, Andrew, appreciate the time spent.
Yeah.
I knew it'd be good. And you pulled through, so I appreciate it.
Nice.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with the lovely ladies from Detroit Labs, Elise and Erica. This Woo! Is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 248 of the post Motor City Comic Con edition of the IT in the D Show. We're hanging out here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit,
David,
in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek. Nary the F&G.
That's right. Beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. But we didn't touch on this. We are building out our new studio this week.
We are.
down in the very, very, very cool Detroit Shipping Company plaza that's built out of all shipping containers.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Right by Founders in Cass Quarter of Midtown.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we're building that out this week. In fact, we're going to be up and running this weekend.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
There's some stuff going on there for DEMF. DEMF.
We'll be on the second floor overlooking the beer garden.
Oh. Yeah.
I'll be able to walk home from being on the show.
There's some stuff going there for DEMF?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll be there this weekend. Are you going to be this weekend?
Yeah.
Or I'll walk over and say hi.
All right, cool. Yeah, well, I'll let you know what's going on. Because right, cool. we're moderating interviews and panels for, like, everybody that matters that's going to be at DEMF. And recording it for our show.
Someone's popular.
So I will sign up for this?
I'm intrigued and would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
Text the word.
Yeah. Want to know more? Click now.
So, hey, we are joined by our friends from episode 2, and you've been in a lot of episodes, but at least from a famous standpoint, I mean, that was when
when it started.
Exactly.
That's right, the glitter and leather butterfly and stickers, the leather and lace episode, yeah.
Elise Turner and Erica Langerand, how are you guys doing?
Very impressed that you pronounced my last name right. Well done.
I was a total guess. Like,
So Detroit Labs, you look back. I mean, you know, we knew you, Erica, from when you were just getting into the whole tech thing.
I like to say that IT and the D has outlasted both my marriages and my relationships.
Yes. You guys were just launching Girl Develop It and just getting that up off the ground. So, we reached out and got you on there. And then, Elise, when we met you, you were marketing girl.
Then to developer. Then you decided to marketing woman.
Yeah, yes, so you're all grown up now.
Yeah.
With twins and everything.
Yeah.
And that's not a euphemism.
Nope.
Reluctant bell.
So I guess what's been good, the last time we talked about Detroit Labs was you guys were just launching your apprentice program. And that's always a huge hit, which is amazing. And apparently you've got an open house coming up and then you're kicking it off again, I hear?
We do. We have an open house coming up because we are launching another developer apprenticeship program this year. Which will be our first one in 2 years. So we're very excited.
Well, which is great because, I mean, you know, everybody – we've talked about it a million times. Everybody bitches, I can't find this. I can't find that. And Detroit Labs did it right. They were like, okay, well, we're just going to grow our own.
Yep. Yeah. That was what happened. I mean, it was 5 years ago now, our first one. We couldn't hire enough mobile developers, and so we decided to make our own.
Well, I heard the interview process, you know, for the apprentice program
it's
is
intense.
Insane.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Is it still like that?
Yes. Nice.
We typically get between 200 and 300 applicants for less than 10 spots. So yes, it is still like
it's hard. Is it statistically harder than Harvard?
It's harder than every Ivy League but Harvard, but we're going to beat Harvard this year, I've decided.
We're stepping up our game.
No, because even like just getting a job these days, because I remember I talk about it all the time. I got into HP and Dell and Cisco in under 5 interviews in a week from first interview to offer letter. When I was let go from Cisco, I interviewed with 3 companies that I won't name that are big, that you would know their name. Mm-hmm. 7 weeks in arduous process. And I was, picked second at all of them. Then hired on the spot at the company that I'm with now. It's such a crazy world in interviewing.
So the apprenticeship program, the interview is tough because we interview for potential, right? So you don't typically have developer skills coming in. So we look for the skills that will make you successful as a developer, and that's hard to figure out. So it takes that many stages to sort that out.
It's the are you an asshole quiz.
It's not even that. It's like the are you persistent and curious and are you determined? Do you want to learn? And when you hit a problem that you can't solve, do you get excited or do you want to run out and cry?
Mm-hmm. Or do you check out the hooks while your DJ revolves it?
So our first stage, because we don't accept resumes like across the board for any role. We don't accept resumes. We have a questionnaire, which we call a getting to know you. So basically, it asks different questions depending on the role, but for apprentices specifically, it asks for, general background. I think there's logic questions. There's some.
Our logic questions were posted to Reddit last year, so we changed them this year.
Yeah.
That's why we can't have nice things. Damn your Reddit.
But we kind of try to figure out like who you are as a person and how you dissect problems. And the thing that people seem to get wrong so much is the GTKY. That's where we weed out the most people. It's like people don't take a questionnaire seriously when they probably should take it more seriously than their resume. It's Because we're asking you actual questions because we want to know.
Right.
Yeah.
So interesting, and that tends to flush people out more than anything else?
Yeah, actually.
We don't take resumes at all for any role in the company. Yeah, it's always this weird questionnaire that we do, and people take it seriously or they don't. And we find there's a correlation between people who take it seriously and people who do well at labs.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Right. So then what's the open house then?
The open house is to talk about the apprenticeship program. So we will – the feature piece of that is a panel of former apprentices from all the previous classes. And so they'll get up and I'll ask them a series of questions. And then there'll be an open Q&A for people who are there as potential apprentices to ask former apprentices, what was your experience like? Was it worth it? Should I do it? What do I have to do to be successful? All that kind of stuff.
So I guess what's the intake to hire rate usually like?
For my class, I think it was so we actually ended up hiring, 12? So it was 205 to 12.
Oh, no, but you mean from apprentices that we hire to apprentices that we hire as full-time employees? It varies from class to class, but typically around 80%.
Yeah. Eight or 80?
80.
80. I mean, and how high have they gotten so far in the org? I mean, you guys have went, what, from 30 to 130?
We have former apprentices that are tech leads now.
Really?
Yep. Yeah, which makes my heart smile every time I walk by them.
Yeah, indeed.
Erica's fault.
When I walk by them, I like see them in my head when they came off the elevator for their interview as an apprentice. So, and I just like.
So scared. Oh. Terrified little puppies.
Freshers, they call them in India.
Well, welcome to the Terror Dome. Yeah. Mama Labs.
We have former apprentices who are leading teams, who are tech leads, who are running programs teaching kids how to build robots. Like, and Elise, who is our director of marketing. We have former apprentices at all levels of the organization at this point. 1/3 of our engineering team is apprentices that we trained ourselves.
Wow.
Yep.
She did that.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's the point. I mean, so you guys have gone – I mean, Detroit Labs has grown a lot in the past few years.
Yep.
So, I mean, like what – I guess what is it that you guys are working on these days? Like what's some cool stuff that's been happening?
I'm trying to think of what's on the website. So, I mean
– What am I allowed to talk about?
It's limited.
It's limited. So generally, we're a services company. So some of the most like well-known ones that I can say like abstractly are Jimmy John's. We've worked with most of the automotive companies.
Come on. The Domino's app. Isn't that your claim to fame?
Woo-woo!
Domino's app. Chevy Game Time, which was the 2012 Super Bowl.
Right.
Well, we've worked on a lot of, you know, concept things for companies that we definitely cannot name.
Right.
We get to see a lot of really cool things. A lot of larger organizations you'll see have innovation hubs.
Right.
Or like innovation teams that, quote unquote, like can go against the grain or like can kind of do their own thing. And so a lot of those teams actually end up talking to us about different ways that they could, you know, either explore marketing or expand on their business in some way. And it's I can't talk about anything in depth, but
right.
A lot of that stuff ends up being some of the coolest stuff you've ever heard.
Yep. So, I mean, is Detroit Labs still like just purely a mobile play? I mean, or are you guys getting more involved with marketing and that kind of stuff now for companies?
So Detroit Labs was a mobile company because that was the right thing to be at the time.
Right.
But we are really a company comes to us and says, we have a problem and we figure out how to solve it. And if it's with a mobile app, then we do that. If it's a web app, we do that. If it's something totally different, we figure out how to do that. You know, we have a hardware lab at the office and people hack all of the time on different things. And so we have people who are ready to solve all kinds of problems. And so if a client comes to us and says, we want to do this really weird, crazy thing, there's usually somebody on the team who can do that.
Or, you know, yeah, or that sounds interesting enough that we will figure out how.
Right.
Yeah.
So
the open house is June 6th. When does the apprentice program start? Like when can people start filling out the form?
So we'll open up applications that night.
Okay.
Yep. So that'll be the kind of the closing. It's like, all right, now go fill your application.
Yeah.
When do applications close? I forget
the date. Applications will close 2 weeks after June 6th.
Okay.
So whatever that day is.
So 20th.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Look at math. Look at me.
You know, when you get to work downtown by the almost new Hudson building.
You do. It's mostly an almost new hole in the ground right
now. I know, but can I talk about that for like 30 seconds? So near the end of my before I delivered my twins, our parking garage did not have an elevator, and so they're like, okay, we'll reassign you to the Hudson lot. Okay, great. So park there for like 2 times, then I, you know, go to the hospital, whatever. Come back from maternity leave. No one tells me that no one's parking there. And I go in there, it looks like the upside down. I go underneath it. Like, there's like one door that's open. I was like, okay, this is where I'm going. All right, I'll go in like I have before. I have my badge, whatever.
Dust bunnies flying around everywhere.
There's dust bunnies flying everywhere. No lights are on. There's like 5 cars. And I was like, where the hell am I? And I was like, welcome back to Detroit Labs.
It is going to be amazing. Detroit Labs is right smack in the middle of Woodward downtown. So we're really excited to get to see the building and everything else coming up right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I guess that's, are you finding that to be more of a draw now? Because like, I remember like, you know, 10 years ago, nobody would work downtown.
Right.
Like it wasn't a thing. Like there were people that would turn down really good gigs because it was in the city. Whereas now it seems like the opposite is happening.
It's definitely a draw. We see applications from people saying, I want to be in Detroit. I want to come here. I want to work here.
So except when they get to the commute and they're like, if they got to do 75 South and they're like, no more. No.
Yeah.
Like I know some friends coming from Troy, Rochester, Auburn Hills, hour and a half commute. So they're getting up at 5:15 in the morning just so they can, you know.
I'm so spoiled. I live in Woodbridge, so it's 4.5 minutes.
Oh my God.
I make it from Fenton to downtown in less than an hour and a half.
What?
Every day.
How?
I work through rush. Then I drive.
Right.
Oh
right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about the hours you can get. So, I mean, I guess that's the thing. Like, so what is, you know, so for somebody that's thinking about hopping into this apprentice thing, what is work life at Detroit Labs like?
Amazing. They don't even pay me to say that. No, the best thing about Detroit Labs is that you come in the door and you get to be whoever you are. And so for me, I do the best work that I've ever done in my entire life because I come in and I'm not work Erica. I'm just me. And I bring everything and every strength that I have to the work that I do. So that's the best part about coming in the door at Detroit Labs is that you get to be whoever you are. And we hire people who add to our culture, who can teach us things and who can bring who they are to the office and make us better as a company.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a selling a point or not, but a lot of my friends work at Detroit Labs.
And a lot of my friends do too. And pretty much anyone who's cool in tech in Detroit works at Detroit Labs.
Oh.
Wow. I wanna work there.
Me too, actually.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's an amazing place to work. You get to work on really cool things. It's so cliche to say the people, but the people at Detroit Labs are like awesome. When I was hired in, I walked into the room the first day and I was like, I am the dumbest person here, and that is the best thing ever. I learned so much. And I
felt like that at Cisco.
Right. Like you just – that's how you get better.
I wasn't intimidated. I wanted to grab all of it. Yeah.
And there are people that I learned from technically, people that I learned from interpersonally, like people that I can grow just by watching them work. And that's amazing. Mm. That's the best thing in the world.
As a new parent for parents or potential future parents in tech, it's actually been a really incredible company to work for. My twins have had, twins need physical therapy more than a lot of other babies just as a more common ground. And I've been able to go to the majority of my daughter's physical therapy appointments, and they've had, you know, other appointments for certain other things. And they've been supportive. If it's been something I've needed to miss, they've been really, really good. And in ways that a lot of companies I know haven't necessarily been. Yeah, so it's been good.
It's a good place to work.
Very cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Trying to think. Anything else we want to add? Did we miss anything?
So there is this other thing that we're working on that I've been working on. So we meet a lot of awesome developers that are really cool in the community. And we've wanted to, you know, it doesn't always work out necessarily that people want to work for us at the right time or that you know, we're even offering an apprenticeship or just this, that, and the other in terms of the tech world. So we started this new community called Colabs. First of all, we sent out the name to the company and they voted on it, and Colabs was the winner. So basically it's a community just to kind of keep in touch with all the developers, you know, whether or not they're in a skill set that we hire for specifically, or people who just like coming to all the community events we have at our space, or we're starting to have happy hours that don't combat your happy hours. Getting developers together and kind of just meeting and hanging out.
I've been to a community event in your space. You got that little kind of auditorium set up with the risers and big TVs. And I think it was PinguaCon. We came in for a ConCom meeting maybe.
Yeah. So we're really active in the community. We have a lot of meetups that are hosted at Labs. But we found that a lot of people applied to Labs who were fantastic. And they just didn't do a thing we needed right that second. But we wanted to keep talking to them and keep them involved and keep having them come and talk to us and hang out. And if the right thing pops up, then we say, hey, now we're ready. Are you ready? Like, come and work with us. And so Colabs, the idea for that is to build our community and have people, you know, be involved with us when they're ready and we're ready.
Very cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a big thing that many companies miss, that whole, like, that talent network.
Right.
They discard resumes for one reason or another and it just never comes back again, right?
We also just really like these people, so we want to keep hanging out.
It's like, hey, you're really cool. Can you come back? Maybe we go get lunch?
Do you like me? Can I come?
Yeah, come hang out.
We had a kickoff in, what was it? Oh my gosh. what month is it? We had it in April. We had a kickoff at Batch Brewing. We're
love
hosting.
That place.
Yeah, it's great. Oh my god, it was so fun for an event. You guys.
Oh yeah, we love Steven. We've known Steven since they were a Hatch finalist.
Nice.
So oh yeah.
Oh yeah. No, they're. Oh my god, the food is so good there. So we had just like kind of an intro kickoff there.
And Courtney did the Detroit Beer Press show with us. Ian's doing all of our logo
Courtney
work.
Courtney was our bartender. She's the bartender. Yep. She was our bartender that night. Yep. She was really great.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Courtney did the Detroit Beer Press show, and her husband, Ian, is the one that's doing all of our logo work for Falling Down.
Yeah. Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Small world.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we had an event there. We're going to have we host just as a – so as a general Detroit Labs employee, there are lunch and learns that happen all the time. So for CoLab, people who are a part of the CoLabs community, we're opening up, you know, like – I'm not assuming that people will rush for like a lunch and learn, but like, you know, a couple spots to come over and hang out and have lunch and just kind of have like these general talks that we would have that people would normally get at conferences that we seem to have at least like a few times a month. We're going to watch the WWDC keynote together, things like that, happy hours in the future.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you need help with happy hours, we've got, you know, infrastructure.
I know. Come and hang.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, appreciate you hanging out with us. And we're going to wrap things up.
DetroitLabs.com.
Absolutely. Yep. Episode 248 of the IT and the E Show. I'd like to thank Udemy and Microsoft Teams for keeping the lights on. Appreciate it. Also, like to thank Andrew, Erica, and Elise for the great content. Appreciate it. And as always, on behalf of Bob, Dave, Nuri, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
Emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo, hold up. Time out. Time out. Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.